From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The Togiak herring fishery was a record breaker. We'll have a report as well as a roundup of May fisheries. The deadline is extended for public comment on the Pebble Mine Draft Environmental Review. Here's a question. What happened to the shellfish that used to live in Kachemak Bay? And more trade war news. This time it's got to do with the European Union, Airbus aircraft, and Alaska pollock. Can fishermen ever get a break? All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
It's that time of the year. Very rapidly, Alaska's small boat harbors become all about fishing. Alaska docks and ports are getting busy with all the boats getting ready to head out to fishing grounds. Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio has a roundup.
Alaska's 2019 salmon season will officially open on Thursday, May 16th, with a 12-hour opener for sockeyes and king salmon at Copper River. The 500-plus drift fleet is hoping to catch just under 800,000 reds and 31,000 king salmon this summer. Trollers in Southeast began targeting spring king salmon in various regions starting May 1st. Some Southeast areas open to beam trawlers for side stripe and pink shrimp on May 1st, and a pot shrimp fishery opens on May 15th with a catch of more than 39,000 pounds. Two areas remain open to golden king crab, and divers continue going down for gooey duck clams. There's lots of fishing action at Prince William Sound. A second opener for pot shrimp closes on May 7th. A fleet of nearly 70 boats competed for a catch of over 68,000 pounds of the popular spot shrimp. A sablefish season is underway in the Sound with a 134,000-pound target. The recent Tanner crab fishery there produced nearly 125,000 pounds for 14 fishermen who got $3.30 a pound. A one-day-a-week bait herring fishery is open at Upper Cook Inlet through May 31st, and a small smelt fishery opened in the region on May 1st. Clammers also are busy at Alaska's only razor clam fishery at Westside Cook Inlet beaches with a 400,000-pound limit. Kodiak's herring fishery got underway in mid-April with a harvest set at just over 1,400 tons. Togiak's herring fishery closed May 3rd with a record catch for seiners topping 23,000 tons. Halibut landings have crept up to about 4 million pounds, 6 million for sablefish, and fisheries for cod, pollock, flounders, and other whitefish and more are ongoing throughout the Gulf and Bering Sea.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Now, let's look more closely at the Togiak Sac Roe fishery, that record breaker. When the Togiak Sac Roe herring fishery closed for the season, the initial harvest count was more than 23,000 tons, which is just over the previous record of 22,800 tons, which was set in 1994. Tim Sands is a biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and he says this year's hefty haul is due to a recent change to the allocation plan.
We've had bigger harvests as a cumulative fishery, but we never put it all together in one gear type.
Last year, the Board of Fish increased the per seine fleet's allocation by 10%. It also gave ADF&G the authority to reallocate half of the unharvested gillnet quota to the per seine fleet during the season. Overall, the biomass exhibited prime health this season. After an early start in April, windy conditions kept temperatures down around the district, and fish generally avoided shallower areas. According to Sands, that didn't slow down spawning.
Even though the fish weren't moving inshore into the shallow bays like we normally see, we still could see lots of fish, and they've just been spawning like crazy over there.
The final harvest numbers will come from fish tickets. If that count meets the department's projection, it will set another record in an already record-breaking season. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has extended the public comment period on its draft environmental review of the proposed Pebble Mine. The final day to submit comments is now June 29th. The comment window was originally scheduled for 90 days, ending on May 30th. The move came a week after Senator Lisa Murkowski asked the Army Corps to extend the period by 30 days. Senator Dan Sullivan also expressed concern that the original comment period was too short. While the comment period for the draft review of Pebble's permit application is extended, the comment period for the application itself is not. According to an Army Corps spokesperson, that window ends on May 30th. A new twist in a decade-long trade war over airplanes could crimp one of Alaska's most lucrative fisheries. The European Union is threatening new import taxes on Alaska pollock. The tariffs stem from a feud over government support for the American company Boeing and European company Airbus. Earlier this year, the World Trade Organization issued separate rulings that said both companies have received illegal subsidies. In response, both the U.S. and EU have proposed tariffs on billions of dollars worth of the other's exports. The European Union is the largest market for Alaska pollock fillets. European processors turn the Bering Sea whitefish into fish sticks and fish pies, with more than $250 million in pollock exports headed there each year. The EU's proposed tariffs would also apply to about $70 million worth of salmon and Pacific cod. But it's not just fish. $20 billion worth of American products could be impacted, including ketchup, handbags, and tractors. The EU proposal comes after President Donald Trump's administration proposed its own set of tariffs on European products like wine and dairy. Trump himself has weighed in, tweeting that the EU has taken advantage of the U.S. on trade for many years.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you, in part, by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Kachemak Bay was once abundant with crab, shrimp, and other shellfish species. But by the early 1990s, populations hit rock bottom. Now, a scientist and a college student are hoping to find out more about what happened. But they're not looking for clues in the water. As KBBI's Renee Gross reports, they want to hear from fishermen and those who were in the fishing industry at the time.
Homer resident Mike Devaney is flipping through a photo album from the 1980s. He points to a picture of someone holding a large king crab.
There's a nice-looking king crab, but now the king crab was primarily the biggest money we made. Dungeness was second.
Devaney says fishing in Kachemak Bay was good up until the 1990s when stocks completely crashed. But he says the fishermen could see signs that shellfish populations were on the decline long before then.
Mid-80s, you could definitely see that there was not as many, but you got to remember, every year we were having more and more fishermen get into the fisheries. But the mid-80s, you knew it was dropping.
There are a ton of theories about why shellfish have mostly disappeared from Kachemak Bay, ranging from the rise of salmon hatcheries to ecological changes. For Devaney, he thinks that fishermen were part of the problem.
Some of us didn't follow the rules the right way. In other words, we might have had too many pots, more than we were allowed. And so the combination of our greediness is what hurt us the most.
Did you have a sense at the time that you might have been overfishing?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. We got too doggone good at it, and we knew it was going down.
Former Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Bill Bechtel agrees that overfishing likely played a part, but he says there were other reasons for shellfish declines, including management of the fisheries and the increase of groundfish species like cod that utilize similar habitat.
Well, it's obviously a combination of factors. You can't find one smoking gun pointing to the crash of all the populations. We had this temperature going on, the temperature change, the regime shift, so the population, the whole ecosystem is changing.
These are the types of stories that Chris Holdereed wants to hear. She's the director of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Kissisinap Bay Laboratory based in Kachemak Bay. Holdereed and a Kachemak Bay college student plan to host small group conversations with fishermen and those who worked in and around Kachemak Bay shellfish fisheries. She says those conversations could help scientists and fishery managers.
Just kind of share both kind of what's known, what's not known, and then hopefully get this sense of what are the things that we can do together to help either conserve the things that we have or maybe bring back some of the things that we would like to have.
And Holdery says there are signs that small comebacks for some species are possible. Tanner crab populations have increased in recent years, giving birth to a small recreational fishery for that species. And she says people want to know whether other species like shrimp or Dungeness crab could also return to the area. Those like Bechtel believe the community meetings will be an opportunity to learn from the past. He says it will be interesting in hindsight to see what people would have done differently. As for Devaney, he says he did his best to prevent the decline of crab by advocating for smaller quotas and for shutting down a fishery earlier.
And I'm not saying the fishermen are right. Don't get me wrong. We're bullheaded. We don't like changes. But there, even a lot of us realized that there had to have been a change made.
He says he'd love to fish again for crab, but isn't holding his breath for shellfish populations to grow enough to become commercially viable once again. Reporting in Homer, I'm Renee Gross.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Isabel Ross at KBLG in Dillingham, Renee Gross at KBBI in Homer, Nat Herz with the Alaska Energy Desk, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Remember, whenever you're near the water or on the water, have those life jackets handy. They really do save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wong.